Maybe. But we'll look into that this upcoming week. So let's bow our heads. We're in opening prayer. We're going to get directly into our message tonight without the music and again because of the technical difficulties. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together this evening. We do ask you to please bless this time together this evening. Lord, I pray that whatever may or could or should be a distraction, Lord, that it be ripped from our hearts and our minds this evening. We do ask you, Lord God, to please just bless your words, bless your message to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would take what the Word of God would tell us and teach us this evening, we'd apply it into our life, both with practicality and principles, Lord, to make us a better believer, a better Christian. Lord, to help us in a time of need. So, Lord, we give you honor, glory, and praise. We thank you for who and what you are. And we just simply ask you tonight to please watch over us, guide us by your loving hands of grace. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. And amen. So already, guys, if you will, open up in your Bibles. We had mentioned to go to Isaiah chapter 40 first. And then after that, just stick your finger in Deuteronomy 32. And that's really going to be the only two places that we're looking at this evening in the Scriptures. And we're going to go over this message here. So our verses tonight are simple. Our verses tonight are straightforward. I really believe in all of our heart that the message is simple. But it came out of it came out of a lengthy time of labor. And it's been a blessing to me. My prayer is that it is a blessing to you. So we're going to revisit the verses we opened up with last week as we looked at Isaiah chapter 40 last week, verses 28 through 31, 28 through 31. The Bible says in verse 28 in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." So guys, last week we looked at the topic of how to overcome stress. And I want you to remember, we defined stress last week as being the gap which exists between the demands placed upon us and the strength we have to meet those demands. Stress, and the reality of stress, guys, is we all have stress. It's part of our life. It is. I mean, I can tell you just from 15 minutes ago or 20 minutes ago when the realization hit me that the power cord was not here, my stress levels, my cortisol levels spiked, and they spiked rather quickly. Because, guys, you know, I spend a great amount of time in breaking down and studying and preparing, and when that little thing kind of, when something happens that interferes with that, it does, it moves me, it brings that stress in my life, because I want you guys to get the best experience possible from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Why? Because it's going to benefit you in your life. How do I know that? Because it's benefit me in my life. Everything that I'm going to bring from this pulpit, from this word, from this message, and everyone that's before and afterwards has already preached to me. It's already affected me. It's already done something for me throughout that week, that day, that month, that year. And I want you to have the very same experience, the very same benefit. But the reality is we need to understand the stress is part of our life. But guys, we live in a society today which really appears to be highly stressed. We were talking about this just a little bit, and I tend to be a person who, I like research, I like studying, I love statistics, I love scientific research. I would love to know the correlation today between instant messaging, instant gratification, instant notification, instant awareness in the world. I would love to know the correlation between that and stress levels or anxiety levels in our society. And the reason I say that, this is just a conversation that popped off on the way down here this afternoon. The reason I say that is Bailey had mentioned a song that my dad sent her here a week or so ago, and a song from the 60s, I guess it was. And he had heard the song, he liked it, and he was in Vietnam. He was in the war at that time. He's in the Army, and he ended up writing a letter back to my mom telling her to go buy the album of this particular song. And I got thinking to myself, I thought, you know, And he had to write the letter. There's a good chance she didn't get that letter for at least 4 weeks, I would say. And then if she went out and bought the record, that may have taken her, everybody knows what a record is, right? Those vinyl things that break, you know, and scratch and sound terrible, you know, that's how what they are. Why they're coming back today, I have no idea. But anyway, nostalgia. But anyway, so, you know, she had to go out and buy it, and then obviously when she would have purchased it, she would have written my dad back and said, hey, I purchased this album of the song that you heard. Now, you're probably looking at about 6 to 8 weeks between one response and the other. And I wonder today, in our society of instant gratification, instant message, instant awareness, instant notification, if our levels, is our anxiety levels raised because we expect things to happen that quick. I remember when I was in business and when text messaging became part of normal life with the little QWERTY keypads. You know, I had a guy that was on my staff, an employee of mine, that literally could drive. And I know you're not supposed to do that, but this is back when we didn't realize that. He could drive like this with a regular phone keypad and send text messages. And I was like, what are you doing? Texting me and my wife. I'm like, what in the world do you mean you're texting? He could do that. I mean, I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what he could do. But I remember him getting phone calls into the office on this mobile. And I had a mobile phone, obviously. I had one for business. I was on call with the hospitals, and that was typically when my phone rang. I had a pager, too. Maybe this is how far this is going back, being on call with the hospitals. But I remember him getting phone calls, and I said, hey, man, listen, you know, I can appreciate if it's an emergency or something, but you need to have your calls come through the office, but you need to just, you know, they need to leave a message. And when you get off work today, you can call them. I was still of that era where if you're working, you're on my peso, if you will. You're on my dime, you know. You're not here to answer personal phone calls about what you're going to have for dinner that night. You're here to work. And that was my mindset. But we are in a completely different world today. And I remember doing the studies of what the hourly wage were. And in reality, the hourly wage, even though people were making more money annually, their hourly rate had decreased quite drastically, only and simply due to the fact of how much time they were answering emails at home that were work-related and spending an extra 4 to 6 hours answering emails and things that were strictly work-related. And when you broke it down, they're working 12 and 14-hour days and only getting paid for 8 hours. Do you understand? That's where my mindset went from that simple little conversation in the car into where we are today. That I personally would think that the stress levels in people's life, the anxiety levels in people's life are probably raised due to the fact that we are so used to having a response straight away. Now, I'm saying all that, and the point that I want to make tonight, that we live in a society that does appear to be highly stressed. And yet, the same people in that society, the same people who are really leading the charge for instant gratification are the same people that are trying to avoid stress altogether. And what I mean by that is that they're looking for that instant solution, instant resolution, that instant fix for the stress they brought into their life through a pill, a jab, or a process like that. Now, guys, I understand that there are certain diagnoses that have to be treated medicinally, and they should be, okay? But in the 1980s, Ritalin, or methylphenidate, if you remember that, was widely overprescribed to children who were either struggling or to pay attention, they had too much energy or whatever other reasons. But Ritalin prescriptions exploded in 1991, and they exploded for this singular reason, because in 1988, Prozac hit the market. And when Prozac hit the market, it proved that it could control mood swings, and people begin to say, hey, we found a solution to the up and down problems, to this mood and that mood and this mood and that mood. And what we find, that it further went down our society, that our society is driven to avoid the great pains and ailments and emotional swings of life. If you go back even further into history, guys, in the 19th century, many people kept a bottle of morphine in their bag or their cupboard to fix their nightly ailments from work, their back pains, leg pains, this and that. And they'd sip on this. They'd say, oh, this is the greatest thing in the world. And it kicked off an opiate epidemic that went across not only one country, but across the world. Today, 80 to 90% of antibiotics are prescribed and written by GPs. And it's estimated that at least 30% of outpatient antibiotic prescriptions are unnecessary. Most inappropriate use of antibiotics today in outpatient facilities occurs when antibiotics are prescribed for viral respiratory infections such as viral bronchitis, otitis, and sinusitis. Just like that. We've all been in the situation. We've gone to see our GP or we've gone to see a GP and we've explained the problems and the first thing they get out is their pen and they ask you, how do you relate to naproxen? How do you relate to this? How do you relate to that? Why? Because they want to first, let's see if we can mask or cover up the pain or the ailment that you're dealing with. Now guys, what point am I trying to make here? I'm not throwing prescriptions under the bus. I'm not telling you not to take medication. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm simply stating that we have become a culture who searches out and seeks one-fix wonders for everything in our life. Everything. I mentioned it last week. 202 self-help books are published in the world every year. And now, if it's a one-fix-all book, and it fixes everything, right, then you don't have new ones published every single year. You don't have part 2, 3, 4, and 5. We have those, guys. I mean, we're searching out these fixes in our life. It be it sadness, anger, sickness, headaches, whatever it may be. Whatever the problem is, whatever problem we're presented with, we have been conditioned that there's a pill or there's an injection for it to make it just go away. And guys, we're doing the same thing with stress. Last week, we went over how to overcome stress. We did not go over on how to eliminate stress, did we? We went over how to overcome it. We didn't go over and learn how to mask stress or to cover it or fake it that it's not there or even to avoid stress. Why didn't we do that? We didn't do that because all stress does not need to be removed from our life and it doesn't need to be covered up. You know, in our verse here, verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah is given by the Holy Spirit the example of the eagle, how to overcome stress in your life. And we look to that. How to work the problem, guys, and have the strength on the other side. And there is a reason the eagle is used. There's a reason God uses the eagle by the works here in Isaiah. Turn over there to Deuteronomy where I asked you to turn. You can hold your place there in Isaiah if you will. But look with me in Deuteronomy and you're going to look there, if I remember, Deuteronomy 32, look down there in verse 11. Just to give you something free tonight, completely not related. If you circle verses 9 and 10, those are your verses revealing exactly who and what the nation of Israel is to God. They are the apple of His eye. But anyway, look at verse 11. Again, that has nothing to do with our sermon tonight, so please don't get distracted. Verse 11 says, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So what does that mean? As the eagle stirreth up her nest. You know, the mother eagle builds this nest, and I don't know if you guys are nature watchers, but I did a study on eagles. Good night. It's probably been 25 years now. We were using this to teach in a class that Denise and I were in, and you know, we were teaching young people and whatnot. We're going through the different positions of the home, position of the father, position of the mother, position of the Christian, the community, on and on and on and on. And this is one of the things that was used. And you want to look, when we look at this verse, as the Lord is using us and giving us this verse, and why and how we're going to apply it to Isaiah 40 verse 31, and how tonight we can learn the reason for stress. We learned last week how to overcome stress. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But I want you to understand, there is a reason for stress in your life. And all stress is not bad. Okay. Matter of fact, the right amount of stress in your life is greatly needed. Because it's going to make you stronger. Now, these nests, these mother's nests, these eagle nests, some of these nests have been found to be 6 feet in width. A big old nest now. And they're made from branches and bushes and thorns and twigs and stone. Some of them will weigh up in excess of 40 kilos. Can you imagine? Imagine at the gym grabbing two of those 20 kilo plates and holding that and seeing what that feels like. And these nests will weigh over 40 kilos. Can you imagine that? And when she builds these things, she takes these nests, and she'll make stones in there. She'll take sticks and twigs and, like I said, even thorns. And then she'll take her own feathers and start to line this nest. And then from her prey, the coats from her prey, she'll take those skins and this fur, and she'll line this nest where it becomes a very nice, a real comfortable, soft mattress. And then the eaglets are born, if you know, of course, with an egg, and she sits on there and she keeps them warm until it's time for them to be born. And when they're born, eaglets are born with a ferocious appetite. I mean, she is out hunting every single day, every single day. And she'll bring back that young and she'll feed them. She'll feed them the little snakes and the little worms and bits and pieces of rat rodents and things like that. And she's feeding them. There's just a ferocious appetite they have. And we have a reason why she gets them. And there, these little poor fuzzes all gone. They've got this huge mouth. They're quite weird looking, to be honest with you. But there comes a time for the eaglets to go. Okay, mama's been feeding them long enough. They're getting stronger. You know, they're wanting more food and more food and more food. What the mother does is she begins to pull that fur away inside that nest, little by little, day by day. It's a marvelous thing to watch and learn. She'll start to pull the fur, remove the feathers, and take all this out of the way, and it'll begin to expose the thorns and the twigs and stones that she had placed there prior to giving birth to the little eggs. What happens, she'll begin to make the place uncomfortable, painful, if you will. The mother begins flap her wings above the nest, begin to flutter her wings, if you will, and she knows now that it's time for her to flutter her wings. It's time for these young ones to fly, and it's time for them to go on and learn about life, the difficulties of life, and she begins to teach this, and some of the young ones will pop right up. It's an amazing thing. They'll pop right out of that nest. They'll jump out of it. Many of these nests are over 100 feet in the air, most of the crag of a rock on a mountainside. And they'll jump on that thing, and within, I don't know, 10, 15 feet, pop, wings, and there they go. There's always one or two that are just stragglers, and they're just hanging around. They're enduring the pain, they're enduring the thorns, they're trying to move around. And mom squawks, she's fluttering her wings, and all these things are happening. They're just going to hang in there, squawking in discomfort, complaining about it, whining about the pain, not moving. And finally, the mother starts to nudge to the edge. They'll fight tooth and nail. They'll push back. They'll try to shift. I'm finally just in a little boot, and there they go. And many times, guys, nests are, again, thousands of feet in the air. It's quite neat. And the little eaglet topples out and begins to fall, and he's screaming, and mother watches over, and she looks, and she sees how far they're going to fall. And they let them fall a certain distance, and all of a sudden, she jumps out of the nest. She swoops down. She grabs her big talons into the wing, pulls them, places them back on the nest again. And she starts the process. Although she starts to flutter her wings. She lets him get uncomfortable here, and if he doesn't lean, takes him. Literally lets him fall maybe 10, 20 feet. She swoops down if he doesn't win. The process is repeated over and over and over until the little eaglet understands that the drafts themselves are there for his benefit, and he learns to fly. So looking at the reason, stress. Why do we have stress in our life? When it comes to stress, guys, have you ever thought in your life why the reason you're going through something in your life is that maybe God's just giving you some life lessons? Maybe God is just trying to take the uncomfortableness, the pain and discomfort that you're experiencing in your life, trying to teach you how to fly. So let's look for point number one. Not on the screen. Point number one, the purpose. A stress. You notice back there in our verse, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, verse 11 in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Many times, God is just shutting us out of the nest. God is just stirring the nest to help you learn what Isaiah was talking about, that the way upon which shall mount up with winged eagles. Guys, it's not a judgment many times. Sometimes we stand there and why is this happening? Many times, the things that's coming into our life, this stress, events, it's a consequence. The Lord isn't saying you've done something wrong, so here's some stress to help you out. That's what the Lord is doing all the time. I understand you reap what you sow, but you will come back to that thought. You know, guys, listen, coming back to that, if you've made bad choices and and whatever, and decisions in your life has rendered bad outcome, that's your fault, okay? What do you have to do? You still have to learn from it and learn how to fly, even though you made a bad decision. So I don't want you to sit here and think, well, everything's a flying lesson. Sometimes if you make bad decisions, you get bad outcome, it is your fault, but you've got to learn from it, you understand? But many times, the message is brought in our life comes with a purpose. It's an eagle stirring up the nest. And I read a story the other day of this lady on the topic. This lady had run out of petrol, and this story was written ages ago. I'm going to try to modernize it the best I can. But this lady had ran out of petrol. She was at the wrong time. It was at the wrong time of the day. She was infuriated with herself. She was a little deep upon the steering wheel, and she broke mentally and emotionally. And she just said, how can I be so stupid? How in the world? How am I out here without petrol? I should have gotten petrol. I should have stopped. I should have gotten it. And she didn't do that. And she looked around maybe for a station. There was no station. She had no phone to call on. I mean, the story was before we had mobile phones, but nonetheless, today's time, phone was dead. There's nothing there. And she wasn't about to get out and walk because of the place in the area where she was in. She sits there and she thinks to herself. She begins to talk to herself. She says, what am I going to do? She says, you know what, maybe I'll just wait here. And after a while, police call, someone will come along and help me. God, keep me safe. She starts to pray. Then as it began to get dark, she saw a man walking toward the car. And she's saying, oh, God, please, please, don't let him see me. Don't let him see me. I'm going to sit still. He won't see me. And he came walking toward her. And he bowed his head down to the... She bowed her head there, and she prayed, begging God and not let him see. She looked up. The old boy is looking at the window. He's tapping on the He's tapping on the window. She began to scream in utter terror. She kept knocking on the door, trying to get her attention, trying to get her face up. She screamed, go away, go away, go away. But all of this is happening. She sees him disappear. Now, next thing you know, he comes back with a steel bar in his hand. He takes the steel bar and begins to break the window of her car. And he still screams more and more. And now she's thinking, I'm going to blow the horn. I'm going to blow the horn. Now she's on the horn. She's screaming, go away. He's breaking glass. He's trying to get a hold of her. Finally, he gets a hold of her. He pulls her out of the car. She kicks him in the nose, bloodies his nose. She falls back. And next thing you know, the door is open. And, I mean, he gets her out. He's bleeding. Bar's gone away. He releases her hand. And she crouches back in a position like, here's this guy standing there. This woman standing there, kicking him. This man standing there, bleeding in his nose. He's ready to fight. And all of a sudden, she begins to hear the rumbling. And the roaring sound, and flashing light. And she looked up, there comes a train. She had ran out of petrol in the middle of the train tracks. And that guy was only trying to help her. He got her out of the way. The car was hit by the train's polished it, dragged the bully down the tracks, and he was just trying to save her life. He was trying to get her off the railroad tracks. He was trying to get her out of the way of what problems were going to happen. But because of fear, because of fright, she could not see through the help that was in her life. You see, sometimes we think God is doing cruel things to us. And we say, why is this happening? Why are things coming into my life? Did this happen to? What is the point? Sometimes we don't understand, but the reality is the purpose of the stress that is coming to our life. God's just giving us some flying lessons, guys. He's just giving us some flying lessons. There is a purpose to stress. It is a result of sometimes a bad choice on our part. Correct them, learn from them, stop making them, set things right, and do right. I believe just do right. It's a result, but if it's just a result of life in general, which many times is, understand it's a flying lesson. Understand it's here today for a purpose in your life. You know, see, the Lord just stepped up at that nest. He's just looking at you in that nest, those wings are flaring, waiting to fly. Look at the purpose of stress. Sometimes, guys, it's just stronger. The second thing I want you to look at perspective. Many times in our days, in our life, our perspective in the midst of stress is different from that which is bringing strength on the purpose. In our verse, the Bible says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest," now listen carefully, "flittereth over her young." I want you to try your best to step into the shoes of that little eaglet, a little bit teeny, teeny football, and this massive, massive eagle. Now, when the Bible speaks about eagle, in America, what kind of eagle do we think of? We think about a bald eagle, no doubt, right? But there's kinds of eagles. I forgot the eagle that we saw in Guyana, but that thing had wings that would span this entire room. That eagle could pick up a cow. That's how strong it was. I don't know what eagle the Bible's talking about. But nonetheless, they're big birds, guys. It is a little bit furball of an eaglet. And been fed by the mother for all of this time. And these massive wings spread wide. And as they would flutter, the winds would beat upon the young. They would just, the power of those wings and the power of that wind would just beat down upon the young. And she would flutter, the winds would beat and beat and beat. And the eyes would begin to try to focus on what was going on. So think about what the eagle is seeing. All of a sudden, you know, they're seeing this bright light of the sun in the sky, and then their wings open up, and all of a sudden it's dark, and then the wind comes, and the darkness, then the light, then the darkness, then the light, and over and over again, the wind hitting them, the wings moving. It's something you may liken to chaos, if you will. What a change of perspective. And this is what stresses you in our life. Many times, finding the direction that we need to go to when stress is coming, it's quite difficult. If we're honest with one another, it's difficult which way to turn. If you imagine that eaglet in the sky, in the beautiful sky, and darkness from the east, and then sky, darkness, light, darkness, and wind beating them down, it has to seem like chaos. It's hard to determine up from down in the midst of stress. It's hard to determine night from day, left from right. And the perspective, if you will be honest with yourself, the perspective can be quite compelling. But I want you to remember tonight, to overcome stress is to wait. We talked about it last week about overcome. Wait on the Lord. Our view is dark and confusing. There is a purpose within the perspective we are getting our flying lessons. That's the reason for the stress. Yes, you have to overcome it, but you want to wait on the Lord in the midst of it. So what? Lastly, what's the profit of stress? If you remember last week's message, guys, we went over the purpose, we went over what it produces. We talked about all the negative things that stress produces in your life, and there's a load of it. We even talked about the rising of cortisol hormone and how it constricts the capillaries and the heart and the atrial valves and all these things that constrict because of an exorbitant cortisol. We talked about chronic stress syndrome last week. There's a profit stress brings into your life. In a text verse tonight, Tommy says that she spread about spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Again, guys, stress in our life to make us stronger. In our society, I believe in all of my heart, has become weaker and weaker for one reason. We've taught an entire generation to run their struggles instead of facing them and work the problem. Guys, let's be honest, guys, we all have problems in our life. Some problems are greater than other ones. Some are more controllable than other ones. Some are out of your control altogether. It's going to be your perspective on that purpose that is going to change the profit inside of what you receive on the back side of that stress. Now, what we've done by teaching a generation to run from their problems and not work them, we now have a population of young people who can't deal with problems. And everyone and everything else, they want to live right about all that's going on in their life instead of saying, you know what, maybe ends this stress, maybe beating down, maybe the confusion, maybe the chaos, me simply getting flying lessons. You know what happened? As we missed out on the profit of stress. Denise tells me that I feed off stress. I don't like stress, to be honest with you. I don't like it. I like things smooth. But she tells me I feed off of times, just busy business life. And what we've done over the last 24, 25 years, and I get that. I understand what she's saying. I know there's an adrenaline rush from it, but there's reason from much stress in our life. There's profit from it. You know, we've missed out on it. Number one, the problem is stress that it improves cognitive function. You say, whoa, wait a second, preacher. How in the world can stress improve cognitive function? Studies have proven that moderate stress levels, which is the upside of pressure and tension, boost your brain's performance. Moderate stress strengthens the connection between neurons in your brain and improves memory and attention, and it helps you become more productive. And I'm saying moderate productivity. There was a study done by two ladies, by Kaufer and Kirk, Elizabeth Kaufer and Danielle Kaufer. One scientist, which I believe this was, you said this, he said, I think intermittent stress events are probably what keeps the brain more alert, you to perform better when you, and you perform better when you are alert. So one of the benefits of stress we find is it improves cognitive function. Number two, believe it or not, and this is a great study that you'll find, he's a neurologist out of Bath University, is that moderate stress also improves you to defend against cold and sickness. Cold and sickness. The fight or flight response that we feel when stress is designed, when stress enters into our life, designed to protect us from an injury or another threat, that's what it does. So low doses of stress hormone helps protect us from infection. Moderate stress stimulates the production of a chemical called interleukins. And what it does, it gives the immune system a quick boost to protect against illness. Unlike, again, the evil twin we talked about last week, chronic stress, lowers our immunity and increases our inflammation. So it helps us defend from cold and sickness. Moderate stress does. Finally, believe it or not, stress makes us stronger. And those of us that are, I know gym people, we know this. You're never going to get stronger at anything unless you increase the stress in your life. If stress is not introduced in your life, you're not going to get strong. Going through a tough situation builds resilience. We understand. And you need to, must defend against apathy and bitterness during this particular time. It will build resilience in your life. When you need to confront situations, some of which at the moment you feel like the worst situations ever, but when you get to confront different situations, overcome various problems, you train yourself to deal with similar incidents in the future. Have you been talking to someone who's going through a rough time and they're just a bit of a rough patch in their life, but yet you've been through it several years before, and you know what, you're getting through it. That person on the other side of the one, you've lost your mind. This is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. You're here through the other side of that storm. You went through it. It's made you stronger, made you better, made you more clear-headed. You're a better person now that you've gone through that storm. And you're like, I understand that you feel like this, but trust me, you're going to get through it. You're going to get through it. It's going to be better on the other side. They can't see it because the perspective is skewed at the moment. You've already seen the profit from the stress. Do you follow? See, I'm telling you, it will make you stronger. Here's a free one for the ladies, and this is just for the ladies, okay? Stress enhances child development. Now, 2006, John Hopkins study followed 137 women from mid-pregnancy to the children's second birthdays, and the study found that babies born to women who experienced mild to moderate stress during pregnancy had more advanced early developmental skills by the age of two than babies who were born to unstressed mothers. That was a shock when I found that out. It was a nice little lengthy study to read. I just put that down into, 23 words. The original study was 2,300. So you feel free to read it if you want to. But guys, I'm just here to tell you tonight. You know, I mentioned this last week. I had 21 pages of notes in preparation for last week's sermon. And I put 7 pages last week. Tonight, 9. But 7 pages last week. And I just didn't want to leave the thought of, let's overcome stress, because I didn't. The interpretation of stress and get it out. So there is a reason why. There is a benefit from it. There is a profit from stress. Remember, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, beloved, there is a reason for stress in our life. All of it isn't bad. All of it isn't good. There must be the balance in the mix. We know that it must be a central focus to build on patience, preparation, understanding that God has a plan. That's where it all lies. His plan isn't for us to come to stress, nor is His plan for us to continue down the road, which leads to chronic stress, but rather simply trust Him, renew our strength, to take on board the flying lessons, and soar high on the wings of the storm. I promise you this, that the reason for stress, if you'll soar high in the midst of storms, the view will change. You get above those clouds and you can see that sunset on the horizon, it's a much better view than it is in the midst of the storm. But you know what? You got to get through the storm first. You got to see the reason for the stress that is in your life, good, bad, or indifferent, to understand that you can benefit from it. There is a reason we have stress in our days. It may be a consequence of a decision you made, but quite often, many a times, we need to sit back and understand God's just trying to give us some flying lessons so we can soar above the clouds, see the benefit in our life. We bow your heads this evening. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the time and opportunity to give you tonight. We pray that you bless every word that was said from your word. We pray that we have taken on, Lord God. Lord, we just ask forgiveness of where we failed you, Lord. I thank you again for your soul that is here this evening. I pray for everyone who's not here for whatever particular reason, Lord, I ask you to help and bless them in any way. But Lord, I ask you to pray for those who are sick, Lord. Pray for those who are hurting. Lord, I pray for those who are going through some stressful situations right now. I ask you, Lord, to take the message we've given tonight and last week, place it into their heart and their mind, help them, if you will, see that the flexing of the wings, the perspective may be dim, perspective may be dark, but there's a prophet at the end of the stress. We pray tonight that you help each and every one. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. Sure, thank you for being here tonight. I hope it's been a blessing.